Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, we have just some amazing things that are lined up for you for Women Rock in the summertime. And so grab a girlfriend this summer. The girls, guess what? Your kids are going to be in vacation Bible school. Do you know what that is? Some of you know what that is. Like some of us old school people know what that is, right? Okay, vacation Bible school will put the Word of God in their heart. It is a very amazing, like, program. I don't like calling things programs, but it is kind of like a program. And they're going to learn just such deep, incredible principles of God. They're going to have crafts and games, and it's just such a creative way of getting the gospel into the hearts of our girl, of our kids. So when you come to Women Rock, bring your kids. They're going to get God, and you're going to get God. I've been meeting with the girls, and I'm like, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. We're going to just wet you down, okay? So if you want Jesus, bring a friend. And bring yourself to Women Rock during the summer, and it's going to be amazing. But I know God has an incredible word for us today. Pastor Eleanor was actually on the docket to preach, but she ended up becoming a grandma. And so, yay, Yolandi had a baby, 7 pounds. I think his name is Walter. I have a hard time saying that name because it reminds me of this kid that was in my class when I was in third grade. And we won't go there. And but anyways, Walter's going to redeem the name. Okay. So Pastor Eleanor asked if I would preach in her spot, and I said, absolutely. I love my girls. So are the girls here today? I need to hear you. Woo! All right. Well, you know, it was funny because I had been really pressing in this week, pressing in. Okay, God, what do you want to speak? Because it's the freestyle, you know, we're not like on this path. What do you want to do, God? And I just was getting nothing. And I was getting mad because he knows I'm on a time limit. Like, listen, the kids are gone. I only have so much time before Dan comes in requesting something. What do you want to say? Nothing. And I'm like, this is not cool. So, what do I do? So, the Holy Spirit says to me, why don't you just go back to some of your old notes? I don't know if some of you pastors have this, but I have like this thing in my phone that I call it messages. And it's like ideas on messages or when something just inspires me or when I'm like, get a verse and I'm just like so moved by it on the front row. If you wonder if sometimes by the third service, I'm on my phone, I'm typing a message for the next time I'm preaching because I've heard Dan 6 times. And so I have my message, right? And I go back to these messages, and there was this one message that said, daughter of inheritance, never preached before, and it had everything I needed. Like, all my points, all my scriptures, everything. I was like, what? I have a message ready to go, and I didn't even ever use it? And the Holy Spirit said, that's the one I want you to preach. And do you know I wrote it 2 years ago? Wow. 2 years. And I believe that it was for this time, for this space, for this day, because we serve such an incredible God who left us such an incredible inheritance. Did you know what an inheritance is? You know, a lot of us don't get them, right? We're the ones taking care of our parents, but when they die, they don't leave us nothing. They actually probably leave us bills, you know? But it wasn't that way back in the day. It was an honor. When the family left you something, they would leave you land, they would leave you money, they would leave you, back then, cows and sheep and their stock. And, you know, it was like when you had a daughter, you would trade for their inheritance. Well, what does he have? Because that's what I'm going to link her up with. Inheritance was a massive thing back then. It meant your future, it meant your destiny, it meant your grandchildren's futures and destiny. It was really quite a big deal. In the English culture, you can go back and like Downton Abbey, that type of that era was when, well, who are you marrying and what is their inheritance and what family are you connecting to? Inheritance related you to a family. It also connected you to something that was big, something that was superior, something that was grand. And did you know that you are superior, that you are royal, and that you are grand, that God thinks highly of you, God thinks nothing but good things upon you, and he has left this incredible inheritance of who you are. And he has given that and handed that over to us. And so that we don't just sit in these nice cushy chairs and do nothing with it and be like, I'm a daughter of God. Unicorns and like salad. Yay. Like life is good. You know, like life is going to hit us. Things are going to happen. And he left us tools and an inheritance to be able to get through those things. We've all had hard times and we've felt unworthy at moments in life, right? Have you ever felt, oh, I'm too fat or I'm too ugly or I'm just not enough or I wish I could do this? Or, you know, we're our worst enemy. Have you noticed that? My daughter the other day came in and she goes, I go, well, you're just so pretty and look at your beautiful hair. Like she has this hair I've always wanted, you know, the really thick, long, beautiful hair that's not curly so that it doesn't frizz out, you know, because I have curly hair. And she's like, Mom, I was just thinking that. I was in my bathroom looking at myself and going, I am just so pretty. And at first I did not know what to think about that. I was like, that's a little weird. But then the Holy Spirit said, oh no, that's not weird. That's healthy. And he goes, and that's what I wish every daughter would say about herself because that's how I see her. You see, we can beat ourselves up. We're looking for the next tragedy to happen. We're like waiting for when hell is gonna hit, you know? It's like, God is going, would you stop it? You know, I know that there's gonna be seasons when it's like we're on a sailboat and we're floating through the ocean and it's just such smooth sailing in those moments. Don't you love those? But then the storm will come. And when the storm comes and when the storm hits, that's what we tap into, our inheritance, our tools, who we are in him, what he did for us, all the things that you're pouring in will need to pour out at that moment. Yeah, that's good. There's a lovely lady, her name is Bernice, and she's part of Women Rock here at the church. And she wrote a testimony this morning. I don't know if she told me I could tell it or not, but I'm going to. And she went the other day. She's been having a lot of issues with, she's been in the hospital in and out with transfusions, and she's just been fighting for life, you know? And so she went to go get her nails done. And as she's in the nail salon, she started feeling really weak on her left side. Her foot started not working. Her arm started not working. Now, she is not older. She's like in her 30s. And she's going, What is going on? She said her speech started to get blurred. She just couldn't really have a clear thought. All of you were going stroke, 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 heart attack, something along those lines. She was thinking the same thing. She called her husband and said, I'm coming home. I need you to help me. And I'm thinking she should not be driving, but she left the nail shop. She made it home. Her husband was standing outside waiting for her. He jumps in the car and they go to the emergency room. She said, while she was in the car, something came up out of her, and it was the name of Jesus. She said, it's what I could do. I couldn't say it because I actually couldn't speak, but in my mind, I was battling. And I said, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. She said, by the time she got in to see the doctor and they did all of the things they were supposed to do to her, she had no sign of a stroke, no symptoms any longer. She was completely healed. And she knows that there was a God in heaven that took care of her today. Listen, she is a daughter of the Most High. She has an inheritance. She has favor. She has the love of God. There's something that is greater than us, girls. There's a God in heaven who died on a cross, who gave everything. He didn't even need to go. He was spotless. He had no sin. But he went with joy. Did you know that? Because he knew the greater outcome was going to be you and I. To go to the cross with joy, what does that mean? We always compare joy and happiness together, but let me tell you, so they're two very different things. Happiness is fleeting. It's something that you can have for a moment, but then it goes away, and right, it's like you could be mad the next second. Amen to that when you're on your period. You know how that's true. Or the husband walks in and says something, you're like, oh, that's it. I'm not happy anymore. Listen, we are human. We go on and off really fast, okay? But joy is constant. It's steady. It's a state that we walk in. He is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You say you cannot get your strength anywhere else. Happiness doesn't come in other ways. Only joy will keep you sustained. It says to have joy through various trials. How does that happen? Because we're tapped in to God, to our inheritance, who this God who gave everything because he loves us. You see, tap in to who you are, daughter. The simple steps to keeping our mission. Listen, when we are sailing on those beautiful seas, those are fun days, right? But then there's days when you're going to have to get in the trenches. I heard this said just recently. I was watching this thing, and this man had said, you know, when people go to war, sometimes they go to war, and they could be in the army for like 20 years and never go to war. But the ones that go to war and they're actually in the trenches. They have to ask themselves, am I willing to sacrifice everything and lose my life for the cause that I'm fighting for? And in the trenches, that decision has already been made. God went to the cross. He went to the trenches for you and I. He left us such great inheritance. He left us faith. He left us love. He left us everything. And he's saying, what are you doing with it? Use it, because it's a waste if you don't use it. It's a waste if you don't put it into play. It's a waste if you don't put it out and hand it out to the world that is lost and dying. Share my love. Share my inheritance. He went to that cross, and when he went, you know what he said? The greatest of these is love. Love one another, that as I have loved you. He loved us so much. He sacrificed and gave everything. So what is he requiring of us? He's requiring of us to love each other. He's requiring of us to put into play everything that has been handed down to us. We don't need to be spoiled little brats. We need to be amazing daughters that he's proud of. And he says, oh, I can give her more because I can trust her. And oh, I can give her more because I know that she's going to do something with it. And ooh, I know that if she's moved with compassion, I can move through her and there can be obedience that flows and the miracles are going to come out of that. You see, God wants to do things through and in us and around us. You live in a rough neighborhood, and instead of judging everybody around you and getting mad about where you live, how about you start praying, walk through that neighborhood, lay some oil, get crazy, ladies, for Jesus. You see, when the power of God hits the streets, we're not gonna see 29 homicides in 6 months. We're gonna see the power of God saving these gangsters, saving the prostitutes, saving the 13-year-olds I just heard about out there selling their bodies in the middle of the night. It's in our own city, girls. And for us to just come to church and think our lives are pretty all the time, I feel like God is saying, they are pretty because of me, but I need you to use your beauty. I need you to use the gifts. I need you to use the inheritance and the talent and everything I poured out on you. Well, then how do we go there, Pastor Jess? How do we go on our mission? How do we tap into our inheritance? First, we have to remember the price that was paid. If you're taking notes, we have to remember the cost. The cost was great. We were bought with such a great price. I have a $100 bill here. Aren't they pretty? They're pretty now. I never see these. Who wants this $100 bill? Wow, not everybody's hand went up. All right, fine. Right, Lori's like, heck yeah, I do. I'm going on my mission trip. Lori's going to Israel, believing God for the impossible, right? So, okay, you want this $100 bill? Because it's pretty and it's new. And what's its value? $100, right? Okay, now what if I do this and I step on it and then I throw it? Michelle, let's play catch. Come on, girlfriend, because this is like whatever. Good, Michelle, good. And now, who wants this $100 bill? Oh, you still want it, even though it's been beat up and mangled and tore up? Yeah, like what if I put a little rip in it? It will still work, right? Because why? It hasn't lost its value, right? You might have been beat up. You might have been mangled. There might have been things. Life has hit you hard. You have some scars. You have some issues. You know what, though? You haven't lost your value to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You haven't lost your value. You see, God knows your name. And he paid a price when he was on that cross. He knew what he was doing. And he knew the cost it would take. Colossians 1, 12 through 18, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in his inheritance. Hold on, let's stop there. Qualified me? I feel very unqualified. I'm not educated. Maybe you are educated. Some of you aren't. And you think, oh, well, you know, who am I? I never got to go to school. I never got to do that. You are qualified in the kingdom of God. That's what makes us different. You say, well, I don't feel very qualified because I'm failing as a parent. You know, my kids, I lose it on them. I don't know how to do this job. I never really had good parents, so I'm doing the best I can and trying to be the daughter of God God's asked me to be. Listen, you're qualified. You have a resource maybe your parents never tapped into. It was there for them, but maybe they didn't know. But you do. And you can raise a new generation now. You see, there's new people to touch because you're a qualified daughter, because there was a price paid for you, because a cost went before you, because there was value placed on your head, and you are now a qualified partaker in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, of his love. We have been taken out of hell and put into the light of Jesus, into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where I go, he goes. Where you go, he goes. So if you are clubbing, he is not enjoying that. If you're out sleeping around, are you taking Jesus with you? That's a little embarrassing. What are you talking about in front of him? You see, we need to let the things of this world fall by the wayside because there was such a price that was paid for us. Such a price. He is the image of an invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created. That means you and me, everything we see, the grass of the fields, the lilies of the field, all of it was created by him. Listen to me. The demons in hell and Satan himself were created by God. They're fallen, but they're very aware of who he is. That's why their mission is so hard to take down as many of you, because they know they can't take him down. Verse 16, for all by him were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Listen to me. You think those demons were created to be demons, to torment us, to ransack our families, to steal our joy? No, they were first originally created to praise his name and bring him glory and honor. But when Satan came up and said, oh, I want to be like you, he was cast out of hell or heaven, and then he was given dominion over this earth. He roams, ladies. But then Jesus came. It says that I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He came. He died on that cross. He went back to hell. He took the keys of sin and death, and he went and sat at the right hand of the Heavenly Father so you and I have an inheritance, so you and I can use the power that was given, so you and I can walk in the ways that God has asked us to walk. Verse 17, and he has before all things, and him all things are consistent. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have preeminence. That means superiority. He is superior. The God of this universe, the one who breathed and planets existed, the one who said to the mountains, I want you to be this big, and I want one over here, and I want one over there. And the one who created all the animals and allowed us to name them, gave us dominion over them. This is the God who came in form like us, went to a cross, and said, it is finished. All for us. Let's never forget the cost for our inheritance, for what we've been given. Psalms 8:6 says, you have made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So listen, lovely ladies, raise your kids in love, not to love what the world loves, but to love what God loves. And that's going to be a big job in itself, because they're going to be drawn to what the world has. The world is going to entice them with swanky words and things that just kind of, you know, twinkle in their eye and their ears that, oh, that's kind of cool. I want to be like that. I want to be accepted. But if you can go ahead and put into your kids, listen, you're already accepted. Mm-hmm. You're accepted into a kingdom of the Most High God, who thinks greater of you than the world will ever think of you. So when your ears want to start itching and when your heart wants to go down that direction, oh, babies, listen to mama. There's a God in heaven who loves you so much, who paid such a cost for your life, that you can take a stand and you can be complete in him. See, we need to raise our children to love what God loves. We need to speak faith into some dark places. You live in hell sometimes, and you just put up with it. You know, when I got that bad report, I told you guys last week, I got that bad report. I'm sitting in the doctor's office, they're telling me blood clots or cancer or not, the first thing that came up out of me was, oh, hell no. And when I say hell no, I'm not cussing. It's a place. And all hell's going to break out against us. And I'm going to fight that in the spirit. And I'm not putting up with dark places. They're not allowed in my world. And when I can recognize them, when I can feel them, I instantly go into my battle plan, girlfriend, because I am a daughter of the Most High God. But listen, God is not a respecter of persons. What he does for me, he gives to you. Let's put it into practice. Let's act like who we are. Let's be who we are. Let's walk in righteousness before him. Let's excel in life because we are already more than conquerors. He's already fought that fight. We just have to walk in it. Listen, the second part is, be you. Listen, you can turn the TV on and beat yourself up. You can hang out with somebody and feel inferior. You can, you know, be around somebody and feel like less than. But nobody can be you. You're awesome. What's in your hand? What has God given to you? Who are the people God has influenced you with? What family members, what nieces, what cousins, what aunties, what friends, what world do you live in? Because wherever you are, be in your spot. Because I'm not going to be there to be in your spot. Teresa can't be in your spot. We can't do that for you, but you can do that. And God wants you to be the best you can be. Because somebody who has an inheritance, somebody, you know, we've called it cocky. Oh, look, if they just think they're better than no, you know what? They just know who they are. Yeah. They can put their shoulders back and they can say, you know what? I'm okay. I'm confident in who I am. You know, I'm going to be in my spot. I'm going to do life well. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to believe for the impossible. I'm going to go to stretch my capacity. I'm going to walk through doors that no man can stop. I can do what God has asked me to do because God has equipped me to do it. He has allowed me an inheritance because he loves me so greatly. You see, when we step into who we really are in the spirit man, girls, this is not our flesh, but it's our spirit man. When we tap into who we are, heaven collides with earth and the impossible begins to be breathed. Miracles begin to happen. Revival can be seen in the Inland Empire. I believe God wants to drop some things on us. God wants to take us to new levels, but he can't do that until we understand who we are. We are special. We are loved. We are complete in him, not anybody else. As much as I love Dan, Dan can't complete me, and he knows that. You know that Jerry Maguire movie? Dr. V referenced it as well. They don't really complete you. There will always be something lacking because that was never how God created it to be. We are complete in him. And everything else lines up with him. You see, be you, wonderful daughter. Be you. Use what's in your hand. Don't diminish what is in your hand. It's easy for us to complain about what we have. It's easy for us to look at it and go, well, that's not enough. Well, that's not big enough. God's not. Stop. If you have to, get off of Facebook and Instagram for a while. Because you're looking at other people's lives. They only put their highlights out there. They don't put their lowlights. Okay? And then you're like, oh gosh, my life sucks. Oh my gosh, they're just having so much fun. Look at all the friends they have. Listen, they probably don't have that many friends. They just take pictures when people are around. I don't know if that's true, but that's funny, huh? Okay. Come back. Come back to me. Okay, in Colossians 1:9, turn with me to Colossians 1:9. It says, for this reason, 1:9, through 12. For this reason, since the day that we had heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. We ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all his wisdom and his spiritual understanding. Listen, girls, pray that for yourself. Be in your spot and pray these things over yourself. God, I pray for your knowledge. I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your understanding. Because when we're walking our days out without his knowledge, his wisdom, and his understanding, we're going to be left to ourselves. And when we get inside of our own heads, you know what happens? not good things. False things begin to appear. And all of a sudden, we hate the world and everybody that is around us because they're out to get us. Because that's what Satan does. But when we ask for spiritual understanding, verse 10, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. When my kids are doing right, let me tell you, there is nothing more special than that. My kids got all really great grades, like, you know, in that time, I don't know what they're called, progress reports. They all got really great grades. And I was just like, wow, how did I get kids with good grades? Because I was not that kid. I was the C's and D's and like, thank you, Jesus. And so I got these kids that just like, they excel. And I think it's God's way of showing off to me. Like, see, I got you. Even though you didn't feel okay, they're going to be fine. And so when the kids got all that, you know what they did? They came to me, they said, what can we get? I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. Smart kids. Like, you guys want to go get ice cream? Yeah. Can we have a movie too? And can we go to the toy store? And I was like, dang. Ask for a lot. But you know what? We did. Because they walked worthy of it. Because they pleased me. Because I was proud of them. And I wanted to pour out my blessing and my favor on them. So they got a benefit from walking and pleasing. We are the same with God. When he can trust us, when he can speak to us, and we're obedient in what he says, he goes, ooh, she's pleasing me. I'm going to pour out a blessing on her. Those things you've been believing God for, if it's in his will, they're going to happen. If it's not, be okay with it because he has something better. He has something greater because he protects us through our own pleading with him. He protects us in that at times as well. So we walk worthy, verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Ooh, that's that joy with long suffering. Why is joy always connected to sorrow in the word of God? Do you notice that? Because we're going to have sorrow. But in our sorrow, we've been given a gift of joy. And if we can keep our mind fixed on Jesus, he will be our joy in that time of tribulation. And when you are being you and you're having a moment and you're having a hard time and maybe you're like Bernice and you're going to the hospital and you don't know what you're going to hear, but she tapped into Jesus and you know what? It became the joy of her strength. It became her strength that day. She was able to fight. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, there we are, we're qualified again, to us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Ooh, hallelujah. Can someone say amen to that? We are partakers of the inheritance. You are in God's kingdom. You have made him to have dominion over the works of his hands, Psalms 8:6. You have put all things under his feet. Women of God, start acting like who you are. And when Satan wants to come knock at your door and tell you a lie in your head or speak to you about your kids or talk to you about the job you're not getting or maybe the schoolwork that's just too hard, overwhelming, you just can't handle it. You're saying, oh, I'm too old to go back to school. No, you're not. God asked you to do it, he'll equip you to do it.
That's right.
Listen to me. There's nothing too great. And when the devil comes and knocking, you say, oh, get out of here. I'm not going to listen to you. I am a daughter of the Most High God. And you put your sword out and get your shield up and you begin to go into battle. And listen, you're going to win that battle because you're more than a conqueror. It's already been won. You just have to fight it. You have to be willing to get up and fight it. This is the point number three. Last one. Run the race. Run the race. Sometimes we don't want to run. We want to just sit down, be lazy, and watch Netflix. It's true. Believe me, I'm the same way. I get tired. I'm like, dude, I just want to veg. What's a good show I could watch? But you know what? Sometimes God says, no, stir yourself up. Get up and start running your race again. Maybe you've been kicked down. A man let you down. He lied to you. He beat you. He cheated on you. You had another child within your marriage. Maybe these are some deep, devastating hurts. God says, oh, no. Come on, get up. Put your shoes on. Get those running shoes on. Because this race needs to be ran. And no one can run your race but you. And God needs us to begin to run our race. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, those that have gone to heaven before us are cheering us on in heaven. Sometimes when I feel weak and tired, I think about my Nana Ellen. And that woman was the most encouraging woman here on earth. I miss her encouragement. She also was very rude at times. When I was pregnant, she did tell me I had a big butt. But whatever, I did. You know it's true. But honestly, most of the time, I mean, you get off that pulpit and she would be like, oh, you were just so wonderful and it was just amazing and I just love you and da-da-da. I mean, you call Nana and you just get filled up with Nana love. And when she died, that was a piece in our family that was missing. I believe my mom took over. She has called me 5 times this morning and I'm like, seriously, woman, quit calling me. I'm so sorry, I can't be there. I have a teeth thing, but I know it's going to be amazing. And I'm like, just stop already. But we need people like that in our lives. Yeah. Those great clouds of witnesses, they're looking down on us from heaven and going, come on, you've got this. Oh, if you could just see what you're coming home to. Oh, if you could just see the end result, that prize that you're pressing towards. Keep going. Don't let sin come. Don't let yourself get off course. If you fall, get up and keep running. You see, the great cloud of witnesses is stirring us up and cheering us on. Because there's a prize at the end. It's not an earthly prize, though. It's a heavenly prize. Keep going on this verse, and it says, such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Why does sin have to be so easy? And why does walking in the light and doing the right thing have to be so hard? Did you ever, like, really, God? Couldn't it be opposite? You know, where we just detest it? Eventually, when you serve God enough, you will detest it so much you won't walk into it. But if you're constantly being snared by it, you need to press in tighter to God. That means you need to get your little butt in church more often to fill up your spirit, man. You need to pull out your Bible every single day. You need to be in constant prayer with the Holy Spirit during the day. You have to press in. Because when you finally realize who you are, that spirit man gets built up. Then all of a sudden, sin comes and you're like, me, nope. Comes knocking at your door, no thanks, I recognize you, I don't want no part of that. See, when we've been redeemed from something, we have something that we can push against and say, no way, I don't want that. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, here we go again, the joy, endured the cross. I mean, what? That was a joyful thing for him? That doesn't make any sense. But it does, because he didn't have his eyes set on the pain that he was feeling. He didn't have his eyes set on the men that were mocking him and how they beat him. He didn't have his eyes set on the physical ailments that he was enduring. He had his eyes set, fixed on heaven, knowing there's a greater purpose, knowing that there's something that has to happen in order for there to be freedom. He had joy in that because the end result was beautiful. Girls, our end result is beautiful. This race we're running now, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. We're living in a fallen world. But when we get to heaven, we'll be dancing on streets of gold. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more hell. But there will be the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. I don't even know what that's like. Our human bodies literally cannot stand in the presence of God. Did you know that? While we are here on this earth, we are being perfected for his glory. That means every battle, everything that comes against us, what comes out of us is setting us up for the goodness of God when we meet him face to face. You see, this is preparation for the greater. This is just a passing through. That's why we stay on people that have died and we're so tormented over losing them. Listen, if they knew Jesus, you're the one wasting your time. Because they are not coming back if they wanted to. And yes, we can miss them and be sad, but one day we're going to be with them again. And you still have a race to run, baby girl. So get up, move on, and keep going. Press on toward that prize because death, where is your sting? Yeah, that's right. You see, when we keep ourselves in that eternal mindset, it changes things. It just changes things. He is the author and the finisher of our faith with the joy that is set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame. And as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God to be in that moment, to see that moment, what was that like? He was reunited with his Father. He was reunited. He took his place and he left us everything. Principalities over darkness, we have authority over that. He left us healing. He left us faith. He left us all of it, girls. Let's use our inheritance. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize, upward call of Jesus Christ. You see, Pastor Michelle, Teresa, can I get the whole front row to stand up here? When we have ran our race, and when a runner is running, this is a baton. Do you know what this is? When they run a race, they pass the baton, and then the next person takes the length, and then the next person takes the length, and the next person takes the length. The baton represents our inheritance. And I'm not going to leave this earth without passing my inheritance on to my children. And my children are not going to leave this earth without passing it on. And they're going to pass it on. And that's why Moses was promised generations after generations after generations after generations. Pass the baton, lovely ladies. Run the race big. Run it bold. Run it with passion. Keep your eyes towards Jesus. Because when the baton is passed, your work here on this earth will be done. And we've walked in our inheritance. Thank you, lovely ladies. You can sit down. We've walked in that inheritance. Listen, preach the gospel to every person that'll listen to you. Be bold about your faith in a way you've never been bold before. Love Jesus with a passion that he deserves because he died on a cross because such a price was paid. It's the least we can do. Listen, daughter of the Most High God, you have an inheritance, but it comes with a great price and a beautiful, humongous responsibility to fulfill what God has asked us to do on this earth. My eyes fixed on Jesus, and one day when I leave this earth, do not cry for me, because I'll get to be home with the one who created me. The one that I lived my life for. The one that I desire to be with every moment of every day. The one who fulfills you. The one who strengthens you. The one who equips you to do what God has given us to do. Let's keep our hearts focused on eternity. Let's live here with a beautiful inheritance. Pastor Michelle.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.